Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is May the 2nd, and this is a Words of Grace podcast. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Justin.
This is take number two today. The worst take number two we've ever done.
That's right. It is the worst mistake.
We got through the whole thing and then realized half of it wasn't even being recorded. It's okay, man. If you wonder, do they make mistakes on those podcasts? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's right. How long was it? It was a long one. It was like 18, 20 minutes.
It was so good. It was great.
And then we realized that who was being recorded, me or you?
You were being recorded. I wasn't. And then we kind of joked, could you like cut in questions?
You should have done it. You should have just spliced in some questions. And
obviously, if I don't know how to hit the record button, I don't think I'm going to be splicing in any questions.
All right. Well, it's take two, but it's 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Because I had a meeting to go to.
Yeah. So. Well, we had a full weekend this past weekend. We had a lot going on, especially on Sunday. It was a wonderful weekend, wonderful Sunday. We had Course Church, which was wonderful. And then we had a new members class right after that, which was great. And then we had Taylor Combs, who's been coming to Grace for a long time, is planning a church, and he was ordained last night. Mm-hmm. Which was just great.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It was a beautiful day to kind of see a lot of different elements of church life.
Yeah.
You know, we started with teaching infants through adults, good classes, good Bible studies, good encouragement, and then a worship service with prayer and the word and singing and fellowship in between, getting to know new people, welcoming people. Yeah, new members, as you said, that was fun.
Yeah,
people interested moving to Nashville or in Nashville, and we actually one of our people who is going to join soon. It will also be baptized soon.
Yeah,
so coming to Grace, professing faith, being baptized, joining the church—that's beautiful.
Yeah,
and then the send out last night, launching out a new congregation, new pastor ordination.
Yeah.
Really good day.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it's so fun in those events when you're doing the ordination for someone that's been at Grace for a while. Mm-hmm. And then you see the people that are going along with this new church plant. So many of them grew up at Grace and as kids. And it's just fun. And then even seeing there was a guy that was praying, I think, for Taylor. And I was like, I was in his community group. That was the first guy I got to know at Grace. Yeah. And it's just neat to see how all that works.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. Yep. Community of believers. It's great. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about John. We were in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. So if you will, give us a little bit of an overview of where we were at in that chapter.
Yeah, the passage that we dealt with on Sunday is right in the middle of John 12, and just reminding people of this, that at this point in the Gospel of John, there's two markers. One is it's the end of the first half of John. I don't mean by that exactly at the the midpoint of John. I mean that John 1 through 12 is the public ministry of Jesus.
Right.
In John 13, it's the time Jesus is with his disciples.
Right.
Just the night before he dies. And then we got the cross, the resurrection, and the final appearances on the second part. Hmm. So that's where we are in our time in John. And then also, John 12 is the last week of Jesus' life.
Right.
So John 12 is the end of the first half of John, but it's also the final week of Jesus' life, as we said, preparing for the cross and resurrection. So a lot is going on. This particular passage that we looked at in John 12, a lot is going on from this respect. There were some Greeks who were in Jerusalem at Passover during what happened to be the last week of Jesus' life, and they want to speak to him. They want to see him. And so they go to one of the disciples, Philip, and he goes to Andrew, and then they say to Jesus, these Greeks, and when we say Greeks, we don't mean Jewish people who were in, just had taken on Greek language or Greek culture. In this context, it's Gentile people.
Right.
They come to see Jesus, and then Jesus makes this incredible statement where he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Mm-hmm. That was the focal point of Sunday.
Yeah.
And out of that, then, if you go through the rest of the text, it's a lot about how Jesus is glorified. And I'll just briefly point them out, and people can go back and listen to the message. Jesus was glorified in that he, in his death, he makes reference to a grain of wheat falling into the earth and dying. Jesus is glorified in what his death accomplished, and he makes reference to the grain of wheat dying and then bearing fruit. The fruit of Jesus' death is the salvation of people, including Gentiles who had come to see him. And then Jesus is glorified. Later he talks about now is the hour that there's judgment coming into the world. He's glorified because the world is judged by what they do with him. He's glorified because the ruler of this world or Satan is cast down. And he's glorified because when he's lifted up on the cross, he draws people to him. So that's the point of of this section of John 12 is how Jesus is glorified. And that's what we took a look at. The hour had come. It was Jesus' hour.
Well, great. Well, a great way for us to kind of, I love when you preach, Scott, it's very helpful, I think, for people as they are maybe new to the Bible even, is helping them really pull out, here's the main point of the text, and really flowing from that. I think it's, for some people, they always, you know, they may listen to your sermons and go, oh, that was a great sermon, walk away, but you're really teaching us how to pull out that main part of the text. What was Jesus really talking about? So, very helpful. Good. Now, one of the things I want to pull out from the sermon, it was kind of, I think, halfway through your sermon, you, maybe it was the beginning, you mentioned something from verse 27, I believe.
Okay.
And in verse 27, Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." And you said in your sermon, oh man, the troubled soul of Jesus. I wish we had a whole sermon to talk about that. So what was it about his troubled soul that, that you would love to pull out that you just didn't have time to talk about on Sunday?
Well, first of all, I would say that from the text and from the context, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then he said, "Now is my soul troubled." Well, that doesn't really make sense in our minds if we don't understand what's in between. Because you'd think, well, if he's being glorified, why is he troubled? Because he just said earlier, I mean, between those two statements, the way he's glorified is that he's going to die.
Right.
He made reference to that grain of wheat that falls into the earth and dies and then bears fruit. So he knows that his death is next before the saving fruit of his death is able to be is able to come about. He has to die. So Jesus said in the context, "My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, I will say, "For this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." But so though he knows the glorification of God through him in his death and the salvation of people's coming, it's troubling to him because it's a death unlike any death.
Right.
It's a physical death that's brutal, crucifixion, but it's also a death that is being died that is a once for all unique, only one can do it, and that's the Son of God can bear the sins of humanity, the sins of human beings, and bear the wrath of God against those sins in his body and pay the penalty for sin. So it's a unique one and only once for all death that Jesus is dying, and it's troubled his soul. So that's why in the context he's so troubled. Now, the reason it interested, I mean, it interested me because of that, but the reason I have taken to that so much is it really came from, I don't know, several months ago, a few months ago at least, I was reading one morning because I was praying with a, somewhat of a troubled soul. Don't even need to try to worry about comparing my troubled soul to Jesus' troubled soul. We can talk about that, but that's really not the point I'm making. I'm simply saying that I was troubled praying through some stuff that I'm dealing with, that, you know, just in ministry and people and, you know, burdens people are carrying and trying to help them walk through stuff. And it was it can be troubling. And I was praying and I came upon that and I saw here that Jesus was troubled and that that caused me to ask the question, how did Jesus deal with his troubled soul? And so that's why I was so interested in the passage.
How, so what do you think about Jesus having a troubled soul helps you or can help us as mm-hmm. followers of Jesus? Like, how does that help us?
Well, it helps us because we know, first of all, that he can empathize mm-hmm. with us.
Yeah.
He has sympathy for us in our weakness and in mm-hmm. our troubled soul.
Yeah.
Because he was human.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it helps us because we can see how he got through it.
Okay.
How he pressed into it. Mm-hmm. The first one I would say, just that he's human. I think it's also a good time to say that Jesus was divine
yeah.
and human. So he's God-man.
Right.
And I think sometimes we might think, well, if he's God, how could it be troubled?
Right.
Well, because he's human.
Right.
So, yes, there's no inconsistency to say that Jesus was fully God and yet experienced every human emotion that we have, the troubledness, being troubled of soul because of what he saw in his death coming.
Hmm.
Jesus was resolute. There was never a time in Jesus' life where his obedience to God, the Father, which meant going to the cross to die for our sins. Mm-hmm. That was never in question. There was never a time in Jesus' life where that was actually in question.
Mm-hmm.
He was resolute mm-hmm. in his purpose and in his going to the cross. But he still experienced the troubled soul in it.
Yeah.
Because he was human mm-hmm. and because he's facing death.
Yeah.
That helps me. I'm praying. Hebrews tells us this. Mm-hmm. We're praying to our Savior who understands our trouble.
Yeah,
We're praying to a Savior who went through the trouble. Mm-hmm. We've got to go through the trouble.
Yeah.
You know, just because we pray and just because we're children of God doesn't mean we escape the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
So we gain help by knowing that he went through it and we can go through it.
Yeah.
We gain help by knowing he goes through it with us.
Yeah.
He's never going to abandon us. But for me, in that time, a month or two ago, a couple months ago, when I was thinking about this and reading about it, I was grateful to see how he went through the trouble, and that was really helpful to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and just that focus on the glory of God.
Yeah.
That is the focal point in the midst of a troubled soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you're talking about this because I think, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I mean, we all go through it in seasons, but if you are in a troubled place, you may go to an unhealthy place where you think, well, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Because I'm troubled. Like, I shouldn't be troubled. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be troubled. I know God. I shouldn't be troubled because I have the Bible. And But it's comforting to know that the Savior was troubled.
Yeah.
But he had his eyes fixed on the glory of God in his trouble.
Yeah.
Which I think is so helpful.
Yeah. It is, because and what you said is very true. Sometimes we assume having a troubled soul,
mm-hmm.
being uneasy, being mm-hmm. burdened, being depressed over something, equals something's wrong with us on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Yeah.
How can we not
be
troubled?
Right.
With so much brokenness and mm-hmm. sin and harm. And rebellion going on in this world.
Yeah.
You know, of course we're going to be troubled if we feel it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Our Savior was troubled. There was nothing wrong with him spiritually,
mm-hmm.
but he was troubled.
Yeah.
So that's helpful. Yeah. You mentioned the glory of God. So, yeah, let me kind of backtrack just a bit because I said that what helped me when I was praying and coming to mm-hmm. this text and I was drawn to this text, now my soul is troubled. What shall mm-hmm. I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, but for this purpose I came to this mm-hmm. hour. Father, glorify your name. Okay. How did he get through it? And I think a couple of things. One is he got through it, the text tells us, by saying just that, Father, glorify mm-hmm. your name.
Yeah.
I was encouraged to pray about the things I was praying about with a troubled soul. Lord, glorify your name.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that myself. I can't cause that to happen, mm-hmm. but I can pray that through this trouble,
mm-hmm.
in this time, what I'm praying about and what other people are sharing with me and we're praying about together, Lord, you can glorify your name. If God can glorify his name through the cross of Jesus Christ, God can glorify his name through our troubles.
Yeah.
And it's that focus and that longing and that passion and that prayer mm-hmm. and that submitting ourselves to the ultimate glory of God that is a spiritual, mental encouragement to move through the trouble.
Yeah.
Another thing I thought about, and I'm going to tie a verse in. I spend quite a bit of time in Psalm 42 and 43. And here's the verse that happens three times. It's a refrain three times in Psalm 42 and 43. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Justin, I can just imagine that because Jesus prayed the Psalms.
Yeah.
He had the Old Testament. This was his Bible too. Mm-hmm. And I can just imagine that Jesus prayed Psalm 42 and 43 yeah. often.
Yeah.
And so when he says in John chapter 12, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, I've come to this hour for a purpose. Glorify your name. I can also imagine him saying, why are you cast down on my soul?
Yeah.
And then he said, well, and to himself and to the Father, I'm cast down, I'm troubled because I know I'm about to bear the wrath of God against sin.
Right.
On behalf of sinners. I'm going to die a completely unique, once for all, unlike any other death.
Yeah.
I'm troubled. He's just honest. But then he says, hope in God. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, okay, God, Father, my Father, you sent me for this purpose. I'm going to put my hope in you. I'm going to entrust my soul to you. I'm going to entrust my life to you. I'm going to entrust this whole plan of salvation to you. I'm going to be obedient to you. It's yours. I'm going to obey you. You're going to do what needs to be done to glorify your name and to save sinners.
Yeah.
I hope in you.
Yeah.
It got him through.
Yeah.
And then he says, I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. He looked beyond the cross and the grave to the resurrection, even beyond the resurrection, to the ascension, even beyond the ascension, to the return.
Right.
When he will gather up all those redeemed through faith in his death on the cross, and there will be a rejoicing in the salvation of God around the throne with people from every nation on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
That will be a rejoicing in salvation. That will be a praising God for salvation.
Yeah.
He saw that. That's what got him through the trouble.
Yeah.
So I learned and am learning, want to learn that in trouble, follow what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Hope in God. You know, be honest. Why am I troubled? Then put my hope in God.
Yeah.
Seek his glory. Cling to his promise.
Yeah.
These are the things that get us through.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. Another thing I was thinking about as you were talking, a lot of times when I'm in a troubled place, my first thought, which is not a necessary thing, it's a human reaction, is how do I get out of the trouble?
Yeah.
Like the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think hearing this is helpful because sometimes instead of maybe running there, I should be running to God, how are you trying to bring glory to your name through this?
Mm-hmm.
Which means I may not necessarily get out of the trouble immediately. And
yeah.
I think that's helpful because I think sometimes our first response, again, not wrong, I get it, is how do I get out of this feeling or this?
Yeah.
And sometimes it may not lift immediately, but I think if I were to put my mind first on, okay, God, here's my troubled heart, but how are you trying to bring glory? That's the ultimate aim.
It is.
It changes the perspective, I think.
It does. And we're talking about a particular kind of trouble.
Right.
So an example, I'm out hiking at Radnor, taking my walk at Radnor. I get a rock in my shoe. I'm probably not going to stop at that moment and say, okay, what kind of character development is going on right now with this rock in my shoe?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop, take my shoe off, get the rock out, put the shoe back on, get going.
Yeah.
You know, other kinds of trouble. You get in a crisis situation. Your car breaks down. You have a financial situation. You've got something happens, and you've got to deal with it.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, no, this is, we've got to, Lord help me, I've got to deal with this right now.
Right.
There's another, so that's the kind of trouble you just want to fix because you can. Like,
yeah, there's something to do.
Exactly. Get the rock out, fix the flat, you know, whatever you got to do. There are troubles in this world, though, as Christians and as people, but certainly as Christians, mm-hmm. that you can't just stop and fix.
Yeah.
And they are trials and they are testings and they test our faith. Mm-hmm. And those are the times when we cannot equate that with being unspiritual.
Right.
And we must wait because we can't fix it. Mm-hmm. And we really need to say at those moments, in those seasons, Lord, glorify your name.
Yeah.
Lord, you've got a purpose in this.
Right.
Lord, I'm being humbled mm-hmm. so that I'll learn that we don't live by bread or good circumstances alone. We right. live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Yeah.
So, Lord, for this purpose, mm-hmm. we're in this hour
yeah.
to see you glorified.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's the kind of
trouble right.
that the trials, the things we can't get out of, the things we're called to endure in.
Yeah.
Because we want to be faithful to Christ. And we don't want to just try to get out of them too quickly and then run to false hopes.
Right. Yeah.
We sometimes have to wait in it.
Yeah.
And yeah. trust that God's with us.
Yeah. Well, that's very, very helpful, and I know we're gonna this week be finishing up John 12,
yeah.
and then you want to
yeah.
talk about a little bit where we're heading after that?
Sure. So we will finish up John 12 on Sunday, Lord willing, mm-hmm. and then the plan is take 4 weeks mm-hmm. and push pause on John, because we're at that natural break point. Push pause on John, and we're going to do a 4-week series that talks about relating to one another as Christ relates to us. So it's
yeah.
kind of shorthand is as Christ, so you. So
yeah.
as Christ loves you, so you love others. Mm-hmm. As you know, as Christ forgives you, so you forgive. And we're going to go through 4 of those.
Yeah.
Love, forgive, serve, and comfort.
Yeah.
And we have 4 different preachers from Grace,
yeah.
Elders and pastors going to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll plan to come back in June and pick back up in John 13
yeah.
and walk our way through.
Yeah, great. Well, look forward to it and look forward to another Sunday.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks.